Morning. It is Get in the Game Sunday, a little different than normal, and all you guys with your jerseys and shirts on looks fantastic, all right? Except for you Steeler jerseys out there. We see you, all right? No, I'm good. I'm so glad that y'all are here and participated. This is not normal. We normally don't meet in here on Sunday morning if you're new to our church, but we are all dressed, ready to get in the game. And we'll be back in the sanctuary here next Sunday. There was a time period, of course, you guys are kind of used to this, because there was a time when we were remodeling the sanctuary, and you guys met in here every week for like a year and a half or something. I don't know how y'all did that. I don't know how the people that set up and tore down every week did that. But anyway, glad y'all are here. If you haven't figured it out yet, I am playing the role of the head coach, right? Trying to look like Coach Hubble today. And got my headphones on, got my game plan, got my sermon notes ready to go, so we'll get them ready. I walked into the Cornerstone Sunday School class this morning, and I was telling people that I was Coach Hubble, but then I saw Brother Jerry Taylor, and I said, no, I'm the younger version of Jerry Taylor. But what I needed was the old polyester coaching pants they used to wear back in the 70s and 80s, right? I could have pulled that off really well. But, man, I am looking forward to having some fun this morning. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to be at. This morning I want us to talk about our church and how you can be a part of our team. Because whether we admit it or not, there's a game going on, right? And some of us know about it, some of us don't in the world, but whether we admit it or not, there is a game going on. And so in this game, it's a struggle. It's a fierce competition between good and between evil. And at this game, there are plenty of people, plenty of spectators, plenty of people just sitting back watching. There's also those who are not at the game, who didn't buy their ticket, who maybe they're listening to the radio, maybe they're not. Some of them perhaps don't even know that there is a game going on. And that's what I want to start with in talking to you this morning. Ephesians 6 is where we will be at, if you want to turn there. Ephesians 6, and we'll be starting at verse 10. So let's read that. You can follow along with me there. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." See, in this life, we often forget sometimes what is really happening, or what is really going on all around us. We forget what this life is all about. And I'm going to steal a line from one of my favorite movies, The Matrix. It says this, Morpheus talking about this world we live in, he says, "It's as if the world has been pulled over our eyes to blind us from the truth." I'll let that sink in a minute. Because if we're a believer in Jesus Christ, okay, especially, right, especially if we've grown up in church, if we have an understanding of how this life, you know, really works, then we know this. We know that there's more than just success to life, right? That there's more than just happiness. There's more about just getting stuff, right? It's more than just security, financial security, or having that home paid off, or just, you know, having a good job, right? That we understand as believers that there's really more to this life than that. We know this world is not all there is. That one day, this world and everything we can see, everything we can smell, everything we can taste and touch, that it will all burn away. But we will live eternally in heaven, those who believe in Jesus Christ. Yet, we find ourselves getting caught up in the distraction that's all around us, don't we? And sometimes we lose focus. we begin to make the unimportant things the important things. And the thing that's supposed to be the most important thing takes a back seat. We push it to the back burner. We set it aside. I want this passage of Scripture that we just read this morning to wake us up from sleepwalking through this life. I want it to open our eyes so that we can see. That we can see this world around us, not the fake world, right? Not the facade that we see when we turn on the TV or when we scroll through our timeline on Facebook, right? I'm talking about the real world that exists around us. I want to peek behind the veil, right? That we might have eyes to see what God sees when He sees this world. We might understand this wrestling match, this struggle, this contest that we are having, that it's not against flesh and blood. It's not against the government, right? It's not against the stock market. And it's not against the Joneses that we're all trying to keep up with. The Bible tells us that our fight is against a very real enemy. This passage of Scripture called it the powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil. See, you and I forget that there is an enemy out there, and that Satan, according to the Bible, prowls around like a roaring lion trying to devour us. And we forget this. We get sidetracked. We get caught up in this world that you and I are living, that's all around us, and we forget what is actually going on. I mean, how often throughout your day do you even ever think about the enemy? Do you even think about the existence of Satan in your everyday life? That he is out there doing his best to steal, kill, and destroy. We complain about a lack of sleep. We complain about a lack of money, right? We complain about our job. Maybe we complain about the weather, about other people that have done us wrong, right? We love to take out our frustration and direct all our negative attitudes towards maybe our family members or the person who doesn't know how to drive that seems to always get in our way. Maybe the fast food place that never can seem to get our order right. Sometimes, maybe in extreme circumstances, we point the finger to our Creator. But do we ever think about this struggle that exists between us and the very real enemy that exists? See, hopefully everyone here in this room is convinced of this truth, okay? Hopefully you realize what's going on, because I know there are plenty of people in the world who don't believe this, right? They deny that this ever, exists. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Satan. They don't believe in hell. Maybe they believe in heaven, but, you know, they don't believe us as believers in Jesus Christ when we talk about these things. See, those people, they're the ones who don't know that it's actually game day, right? They're the ones that, you know, you talk to them and they have no idea, right? What's going on? They don't know about the game that's going on. They don't have a ticket. They aren't listening on the radio. They have no idea that it's game day. See, this group of people are the ones that we would typically call the lost, right? They are not believers in Jesus Christ. They don't understand what's going on around them. They have no clue. Now, maybe they've rejected that truth. Someone's tried to talk to them about that, and they just, for whatever reason, don't believe it. Or maybe no one has ever shared this truth with them. But they're not believers, much less players in the game. Then there's another group of people. There are those who like to keep their distance. Maybe they are busy with other things. Maybe they care, but not too much. You know, they don't care quite enough to really pay close attention to what's going on. But for whatever reason, they're not at the game, right? But they at least know that the game's going on. you know, maybe, like I said, maybe they've tuned in, they're going to listen to the radio, they're going to check the score the next day, perhaps. They care a little bit about who wins, but not enough to really want to be a part of the game, to see it, to really kind of focus in on this game that's going on. And their interest in the game never really gets above that level. They keep their distance from it, right? This kind of represents a great deal of Christianity today. I mean, when you ask people today, generally who would fill out a survey and would say, yeah, I'm a believer in Jesus, I believe in Jesus, when you ask them, they would say yes to that, but they're kind of like those bandwagon fans, right? Those ones who, when things are going good, they might show up, right? I mean, they want to wear the t-shirt when wearing the t-shirt is really cool, right? When everybody else is wearing a t-shirt, they want to wear a t-shirt. But a bandwagon fan doesn't really know much about what actually is going on at the game. They can't tell you who the coach is. They can't tell you how the team did last year. They're what we call bandwagon fans. They've jumped on the bandwagon for that time period. And so even though they believe in Jesus, their knowledge of who he is, their relationship with who Jesus is, their whole lifestyle and how they're living, it's all very lacking. It's unrecognizable, even, by most of the people that are around them. They know the truth that this world is not all it seems. They understand eternity, right? They know about heaven. They believe, possibly, that there is a very real hell, yet their actions communicate something totally different. And then there's a much smaller group of people. A group of people who show up to the games, right? They've got a ticket. Now, they may not be season ticket holders, right? But they enjoy going to the game, watching others play the game. They care a lot about the outcome of the game. They understand its importance. They cheer when things are going well. They perhaps even boo when things are going poorly. They may even want to fire the coaching staff when they make mistakes or the team seems to be in a losing season. Yet they see their role as clearly defined, right? They are a fan. And their job is to sit in the stands and watch other people play this game. They cheer when things are good. They complain when things are going badly. And if the score gets lopsided one way or the other, they're probably going to go home early. This is the fan. But they're fans and nothing more. They are a fan. Kyle Eidelman is an author who wrote a book several years back called Not a Fan. And if you haven't read it, you probably should. But he wrote this book called Not a Fan, Becoming a Completely Committed Follower of Jesus. And he has this quote in this book. It says, "The biggest threat to the church today is fans who call themselves Christians but aren't actually interested in following Jesus Christ. They want to be close enough to Jesus to get all the benefits, but not so close that it requires anything of them. They are a fan." Our churches are filled with fans. There's an unspoken rule that 20% of the church does 80% of the work. And you could probably say it similarly when it comes to financially supporting the church, that there's probably 20% that support about 80% of the church's finances. While most of the other 80% do very little. And it's not just a problem here. I mean, this is a universal problem, at least within the American church context today. Doesn't matter what denomination, doesn't matter where you go, this is probably true. But then there's a different group of people. There's another group of people involved in this game, and that is the players. When you show up to watch a game, most of the time, we don't see the amount of work that has gone into the preparation to play that game, right? Lots of effort, a lot of sweat, a lot of practice, a lot of preparation that goes into the actual game that's being played. It's difficult to be an athlete. It's difficult to be a coach. But just like it's difficult to be a musician or some other skilled profession where it takes lots of practice, right? It takes lots of time to be good at whatever craft that you want to be good at. Not everyone is going to play in a game, right? There's a limited amount of people that are going to play. We know in sports there's a limited legal amount of people that can be on the court or on the field at one time, right? And even so, there's kind of a limit to how many people you can put on a team, because really, there's only so many you can get in the game. And let's be honest, right? A coach is not going to play every single player usually. Right? A coach is going to play the ones that he feels are going to give his team, or her team, I should say, a chance to win the game. Right? That's how coaches operate. And so there's a limited number of players, and there's a limited number of players who might actually see action. And those are the players that we glorify in our world today, right? Those are the ones that we look up to. Those are the stars. Those are the ones that make millions of dollars to play a game, right? There's a limited number of those. Yet, in this competition that the Bible is talking about, in this game that we've been talking about this morning, this very real game that's going on all around us, there's not a limited number of players. Right, the team that we're playing on, it could be infinity, right? There's no limit to how many numbers of people can be on our team, as well as to get out on the field and be able to play the game. There is no limit. It could be as big as we want it to be. Now at our church, here at First Baptist Church in Breckenridge, our team plays the game a certain way, okay? Our defensive and offensive philosophies are found mostly on these tables back here that are kind of represented in our ministry fair that we have going on back here. The way we play the game and struggle against the enemy here in our community is probably best represented by all these various ministries, all these programs that we have here at our church. Now, probably our biggest ministry is what we're doing right now in gathering every Sunday for worship as the body of Christ. Do you know what's interesting? Most people think this is the game. Most people think all you got to do is show up to game day, and this is it. This is victory. We have victory if we just come and show up here. But I got news for you. This is not the game. The game is going on outside these walls all around us. At best, this is like a pep rally where we get to come together, where we get to celebrate about victory that we know is coming, that is guaranteed. We get to get fired up hearing about what the Lord is doing in each one of us. We get to come together and worship. We get to get a little bit of instruction. We get to hear maybe a little bit about the game plan and what's going to happen once we leave this place. And we leave this place ready to go out and to play the game. But this that we do each Sunday morning is not the game. Attendance at church is not the competition. The battle is outside these walls. In fact, the battle, the game, the struggle that we're in, this competition we're in, it's kind of like one of those international cricket games that just goes on forever and ever and ever. There's no end to this game that you and I are playing. It goes on all around us. Whether we want to acknowledge that the game exists or not, it's always going on. Whether we want to play in it or not, the game still goes on. As I said earlier, our theme is get in the game. And I want to read you another passage of Scripture. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, as I try to find it. You Bible drillers are already there. Y'all have already beaten me there. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. I want to read you a passage of Scripture that tells us a little about how we are to play in this game going on all the time in this world around us. Look at 1 Peter 4, starting at verse 7. 1 Peter 4, 7. It says this, since therefore Christ suffered in the... I'm at verse 1. Let me go down to verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. In verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This passage begins in verse 7 with something that should shape our mindset. It says very simply, the end of all things is at hand. The end is near. Okay? And, you know, whether you believe, you know, prophecy and tribulations and the end of the world and about how the Bible says that, no matter what you believe about that, whether it's now or whether it's going to happen eventually in the future, whatever stance you take on that, it doesn't matter. You must acknowledge that today we have less time till the end than we did yesterday. In this game, what Peter's trying to tell us there is, it's the fourth quarter. It's crunch time. We're coming down to the end of the game. You need to get in the game. Don't waste any more time. He also tells us how to do that. He talks about a couple of things there. He mentions prayer, which obviously is very, very important. He also talks about being self-controlled. We know in sports especially, to be able to make your body do the things that you want your body to do, right? To have that kind of self-control is very, very important. Same is true about this game of life that we're playing in, right? In this battle against good and evil, we need to be self-controlled. It also talks about loving one another. There's perhaps nothing else you will see in Scripture that gets talked about as much as this idea of loving one another. We have to show love to one another, not just love that helps us, not just love that we get something out of, but the kind of self-sacrificial love that serves other people. Fourthly, it talks about showing hospitality to others. We have to get along, right? We have to go out of our way to provide for other people, right? To meet their needs, to take care of them, to show genuine interest in other people. And then the last thing it says there is that we are to serve. We are to use the gift that God gave us to serve one another. Which, that's really the focus of today. This is why, maybe y'all been wondering, why are we doing get in the game? I mean, yes, it's getting ready for football game, school, football season. It's school started up again. It's kind of a cutesy little theme we can do, but why are we talking about it? I'm talking about it because of this reason right here. We need to be using the gifts that we've been given, the unique talents and abilities when the Lord formed you in your mother's womb, that He gave you to serve Him. To use that for His purposes and for His glory. Yes, we know that not everyone is a preacher. Not everyone is a teacher. Not everyone can work with kids. We're all very different, right? And same is true in sports, right? Like, not everybody gets to be the quarterback, right? Not everybody is really good at dribbling a basketball. There's different positions. There's different roles for each of us to play. And unlike sports, there's no limit to the amount of positions or the amount of roles that take place in this game that we are in. On our team, here at First Baptist Church in Breckenridge, there is a place for you. We believe that so much that we put it on all of our logos, right? There is a place for you here. Not just like we have a seat for you. We have lots of seats up front for those of you guys who want to come sit up on the front row. It's more than that, right? We have a place for you not to just be here and sit and worship. We have a place for you to come and participate in everything else that's going on here in our church ministry. To participate in the game that is going on, not inside the walls on Sunday mornings from 11 to 12, but to participate in the game that's going on outside these walls here in our community. There is a place for you. God's gifted each one of us. And it's our job to kind of identify that gift, to figure out why He has made us, and to use that. Not for our glory, right? Not so that we can be rich and be millionaires, right? But so we can do that for His glory, so that we can do that for His purposes, so we can do that for His kingdom. If you hear anything today, hear this. Don't just be a fan. See, I mean, Friday nights, when the lights come on, when the Buckaroos go out and they rush the field and we hopefully go on to victory over our opponent, we need lots of fans. We need your support, right? Get out there, support the Bucks, scream, yell. Don't yell at officials, okay? We got a lecture about that in our parent meeting this year. Shouldn't do that. But support the Bucks. They need fans. But you know what? Here at church, in this game, in Scripture, in the Bible, and everything God has done throughout time, He doesn't need fans. You weren't created just to be a fan of God. You were created to play. You were created to coach. You were created for a specific role on this team. And we want you to join this team here at First Baptist Church in Breckenridge. We are all in this game together. I mean, we might as well play. It's a lot more fun to play than it is to sit out in the stands. I'm going to go ahead and invite the musicians to come up as we get ready for our invitation. Because before I can go any further talking about playing in this game, if you're going to play in this game, you got to know your Creator. You got to believe in His Son that was sent to die for you on your behalf because of the sin that exists in your life. And no, He hasn't given me some sort of spiritual knowledge about what's going on in your life. I know you're a sinner because we're all sinners, right? I'm a sinner too. But Jesus Christ died on the cross so that sin doesn't have to separate us from God, that we can have a relationship with Him so that one day, after we're done playing in this game and struggling against the enemy here, we might have a big victory celebration for all eternity in heaven. And if you want to get in the game, you got to know your Creator. You got to know the owner, right, who owns everything. You must experience salvation that comes from receiving Christ's sacrifice on your behalf. For those of you who do know Jesus Christ, if you're not a member of our church, if you haven't officially joined our team here at First Baptist Church in Breckenridge, I'd encourage you to stop holding out for a bigger signing bonus. Okay? It's not coming, all right? Go ahead. Come and sign the dotted line. We need you to be a part of our ministry. There's a place for you here to serve and for us as a church to do all that God wants us to do here in Breckenridge and throughout our area, region, state, to the ends of the earth. We need you. We need you. So you can start that process by just coming down during our invitation today or at any of our weekly services, Wednesday night, Sunday night. Come forward and say, hey, I want to be a part and I want to be a member here. And that starts that process. Our church is going to get really excited about that. They want to get a chance to meet you. You'll get a chance to sit down with me and maybe the rest of my staff and learn more about our church, right? If you need to be baptized, we can do that as well. We can start that process. But we want you to come and be a part of our team. For leadership positions in our ministries that we have here, you need to be a member of our church to hold some of those roles, to hold some of those positions. So we want you to be a part of our team. Be a part of our church here in Breckenridge, okay? We can take care of that today during the invitation. So today's invitation is for you, the one who needs a relationship with Jesus, who needs to experience salvation for the first time, and for those who want to join our church, we'd love for you to come down. See, some of you guys have been up in the balcony, and y'all been like, it's just too far for me to go down there. We'll be done with the invitation. But we don't have a balcony today, right? You can just come right down the aisles or come down to the outside. We'd love for you to be a part of that. So Daniel's going to lead us in singing. We're all going to worship together. For those of you who want to come down, who either want to come down and receive Jesus Christ, those of you who want to come down and become a member of our church, this time is for you. Let's stand together as Daniel leads us. We begin our invitation.